Hi, if you've just joined us, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Gutten. In grand Malaysian tradition, an audio clip purportedly between UMNO President Zaid Hamidi and PKR President Anwar Ibrahim has set tongues wagging this week. Zaid's political foes within his party have seized upon the recording in a bid to oust him. So what lies ahead for UMNO leadership? Let's ask Associate Professor Dr. Hamidin Hamid. He's a political analyst with University of Malaya. Hamidin, thank you so much for being on the show with us. Now, that recording, it's created a lot of noise, but I'm just wondering, will it have a material impact on Zaid Hamidi? Is it likely to put Zaid Hamidi's position of leadership in UMNO in jeopardy?
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for having me. Yes, I think for most of us, the analysts, I don't think we were surprised with the revealing of the videotapes of the audio of allegedly the conversation between Anwar Ibrahim and Zaid Hamidi. Because for us, we've seen it's coming. It must be some reaction after what happened in the last General Assembly of UMNO, where Zaid made certain decision which is not popular, even among his own party. So looking at the current situation, and looking at what happened at the General Assembly of UMNO, I think Zaid Hamidi now is very much looking towards the tail end of his time as a president of UMNO. I think the best, for me, looking at the current situation, the best way for Zaid is very much to negotiate his exit from UMNO, in my point of view, because we can look and we can see from what's happening, the chorus for him to call for the election of UMNO is getting louder and louder by days and getting momentum as it is as we speak now.
Hamidin, could Zaid in fact resist those calls? I mean, is there anything in the constitution that could force his opponents to have that election, that party election, or for him to actually prevent it from happening?
I think, Sharad, I think the big advantage of Zaid Hamidi now, he is the president of UMNO. I think, in my view, he is using the presidency to very much to give a lifeline for his political career. Obviously, as a president, I think he brings a lot of clout in influencing decision, especially in the MKT. And in the constitution, the MKT can delay and can decide. But so far, in my point of view, Zaid still have some grips on the MKT. So I don't see that MKT will make decision as soon as possible. But depends, as I said just now, it depends on how strong the voice to disagree with Zaid. And the way I see it, I think the voice are getting stronger and stronger. Even the General Assembly doesn't really much, in my point of view, give a clear mandate for Zaid to have a clear leadership role in UMNO as it is now.
Can I come back to the impact of that audio clip, Hamidin? I mean, you're saying that perhaps Zaid's position is in jeopardy. I'm wondering if we could juxtapose that against Anwar. Anwar's position doesn't seem to be in any jeopardy. In fact, Pakatan Harapan just named him as a PM candidate for the next general elections. What's the difference there? How does this jive to you?
I think indeed, if you look at Melissa, if you see, and we remember a couple of months ago, there was another revealing facts came out. I remember about the letters in purposely to support Anwar Ibrahim to become Prime Minister signed by Zaid Hamidi and Najib Razak, meaning get the UMNO where the Anwar came out with the famous words of formidable, strong, to become a Prime Minister. But I think, yes, I'm surprised why Pakatan Harapan, to some extent, make a very fast decision in making sure that Anwar will lead them towards the next general election. In my point of view, this is very much to show that there is some problem, even within the Pakatan Harapan, looking at the leadership issues. It's not just within UMNO. And I think, in my point of view, yes, they want to make it clear that Anwar is their candidate for prime ministership, but in my point of view, does that a right decision, looking at it, as you said just now, the problem faced by UMNO within the PKR and also relationship between Anwar and UMNO, what that will be reacted by the voters at large? I think PKR is taking a big gamble in putting Anwar as a future prime minister long way before the call for the election.
Hamidin, I wonder if you could help us contrast these two parties that we're talking about. UMNO having that electoral setback in 2018, and of course, the Pakatan Harapan government collapsing about a year ago. Do you see those crises precipitating a rethink about those parties and leadership? What has happened in UMNO since 2018 that suggests they understand the value or the importance of succession? And also, by contrast, Pakatan Harapan, have they learned any lessons from the debacle they suffered last year?
I think, Sharad, thank you. I think you share with one more, I think the top priority of my concern when we analyse Malaysian politics. I always highlight that one of the biggest problems in Malaysian politics is leadership, and it's about succession. First, why? Because I think most of Malaysian party don't have a succession plan. Unless, in my point of view, in the structure, DAP who limited the numbers. But when it comes to the program of the parties, the structure of the party, we don't see any structure that allow the formations of future leaders. Any party in Malaysia. I think that's very much one of the biggest weaknesses of Malaysian political culture. And with that, in my point of view, as you said, Pakatan Harapan doesn't really take good advantage of what happened during the crisis. And for UMNO also, I think UMNO should look what happened after Mahathir left,
right,
in my point of view, with a very fast succession plan failed to Abdullah and Abdullah to Najib.
Hamidin, so why is it that it doesn't seem to be, you know, that succession planning doesn't seem to be part of the Malaysian political culture? Is it just an inability of old leaders to let go of power?
Not just that, Melissa. I think it's very much go deep to the culture of Malaysia, the psyche of the voters, the psyche of the members of the party. The bigger picture is the culture of Malaysian to some extent. We are not very much a structured society. We are, when we come to leadership, for example, we are looking at a feudal approach of in terms of age, respectability, and others, rather than looking at a merit base and looking at the age and many other factors that be synonym is what considered as a modern character of leadership. Mm. So this is where, in my point of view, it's not only political culture, it's involved also with the psyche and the culture of Malaysian at large.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight, Hamidin. We really appreciate your time. Thank you. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But a quick reminder, don't forget to get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com and the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
We will be back with you same time next week. Till then.
Good night.